and my fellow Pennsylvanians.
This state's electoral votes are key to who wins the presidency, and both of the candidates know it.
We win Pennsylvania, we win the whole deal. You know that. Just like last time.
But states like Pennsylvania are going to be incredibly important.
The only thing left on the board is Pennsylvania. The president cannot get to the finish line without the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
One state all four candidates are visiting today is Pennsylvania. Its 20 electoral votes are highly coveted, and the Keystone State could end up being one of the determining factors in the race.
Jill's a Philly girl, but I'm a Scranton girl.
On Tuesday, over 169,000 registered Democrats went to the polls in Allegheny County. As PA Politicos know, this is the Commonwealth's second largest county. It has over 1.2 million residents living in Pittsburgh and other diverse townships and boroughs. The open county executive seat, as regular listeners know, it attracted candidates with different backgrounds. The primary race also cost millions, the most expensive in county history. We had a chance this spring to sit down with four of the candidates to hear their visions for the county. Now today, we're going to sit down with Majority Whip of the PA House, State Rep Dan Miller. He represents Mount Lebanon, Dormont, and neighborhoods in the South Hills. He knows the ins and outs of the changing politics in Allegheny County, and he also knows very well the Democratic nominee for county executive, Sarah Inamorato. So I'm looking forward to his perspective on what happened on Tuesday night and what it means for the fall and more so next November.
Hi, Ken. Good evening. So history was actually made here in Allegheny County tonight. Sarah Inamorato actually just became the first woman to ever be elected as nominee for county executive here. We heard people chant her name as she walked in with Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey and Congresswoman Summer Lee.
State Rep Dan Miller, welcome to my kitchen table.
Yes, hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, it wasn't as late a night as I think many expected in your home county, but a lot of energy last night in Allegheny County as the results came in from about 1,330 precincts. So looking forward to spending the next few minutes walking listeners through everything that happened out there. But anyhow, before we do that, big news also out of suburban Philadelphia in Delaware County that you're going to have a new colleague in the State House.
Well, and to be fair, we'll have two special elections that went on. One of them was in a more challenged seat for my caucus. Still ran a strong effort up there. Fell short on that one. But the key thing was winning with what will soon be, if not now, Representative-elect Heather Boyd in keeping that Delaware County seat. That will make sure that no matter what, the Democrats will keep the majority in the House in Pennsylvania. And we're going to do so in convincingly strong fashion.
Yeah, that was a race that actually attracted the attention of President Biden on down, but it was a pretty convincing win that she had. Someone actually just asked me this morning, when is swearing in?
Yeah, it usually takes about 2 weeks. So the process, you have to, the county and the state have some, in essence, paperwork that needs to be done that certifies an election. So that process has to occur. And then my belief is that somewhere right around the beginning of June, both of the new members will be there. The House will be back to 203 members. The Democrats holding the majority will swear them both in probably on the same day at the same time, assuming no challenges of note. And then we'll get back to business with a full complement. But again, having a Democratic majority right in time to be sure that we're going to advance some of Governor Shapiro's key initiatives. So we're looking forward to that.
You know, and you mentioned something we shouldn't gloss over, the canvassing and certification process by the county and the Commonwealth. And that, yes, yesterday was free, it was fair, it was safe, it was secure, and we should really thank the election administrators across the Commonwealth. Before we go any deeper talking about what happened in Allegheny County last night, maybe tell folks a little about your background. You represent Mount Lebanon, hometown of Mark Cuban and others. Tell folks a little about the district and a little about your background.
Yeah, I appreciate Mount Lebanon is the heart of the 42nd district, and which now includes Upper St. Clair, just to my south, Castle Shannon, Baldwin Township, and Dormont. Traditionally, what most would consider to be the South Hills of Pittsburgh. We've been blessed to be here just a bit over 20 years. I moved in here and joined the fire department. Kind of was a great sort of way to get involved in the community. I loved being a firefighter here in Mount Lebanon, and it led to me being on the commission here for a term and And then when a spot opened up in the legislature, I was honored to have been elected in a special election myself in 2013, end up spending most of my time into sort of education, labor, disability, mental health issues, some criminal justice reform as well. And then I've been blessed by my own caucus to be elected first as caucus chair and now as majority whip. And that leads us to a great opportunity that I'm, again, just blessed to have and plan on making the most of it myself and helping my caucus deliver in long overdue priorities. And to be honest, we've already started doing that. I started doing that very recently, just a couple weeks ago. We had probably the biggest week in the legislature since I've been there. So we're going to deliver. We're excited for that that opportunity. And, you know, and again, I'm always thankful that my home community sends me to represent them, and I do the best I can to do that.
You know, we have a lot of listeners who closely follow Harrisburg, including many elected officials, but also quite a few folks who hail from outside the Commonwealth, down in Washington and elsewhere. So you referenced something that was historical. Can you just take a second or two on that before we plunge into these county races?
Yeah, I apologize. Which point? I didn't catch my own point. Which was the historical
No,
point?
That about 2 weeks ago in Harrisburg.
Some
good positive news happened.
You know, when we are given the opportunity to be the majority party, you know, there are kind of two ways to kind of handle that. One is to sort of take a business as usual approach to things. And some may do that. And then the other way is to let people know that you're there to make a difference and you're there to push things. And just recently, we had a massive week in delivering out of the House Bill 300, which is you know, gives a broader and stronger LGBTQ protections. We did three labor bills, long overdue priorities, one that helps our trades, the other in public sector OSHA, another that protects union rights, workers' rights to have a union in our Constitution. We then did ways to strengthen some things that will strengthen our worker comp system. And we also teed up the possibility of sizable gun safety legislation. It's past second consideration, is lined up for third. And these are opportunities for us, but that's all in 1 week. That was the last week we were there. So we're going to continue to move and to deliver and to let people know what a Democratic caucus can do when given the majority to make their lives better, to improve opportunities for everyone, and to address these long overdue issues that have been waiting around for years, if not decades.
Well, hear. And I'm sure you've heard it many times, but, you know, can never say enough thank you. These are incredibly important priorities. And the bottom line, I think listeners of this show know, elections matter. And for some of your colleagues, the margin was only a few dozen votes that they won. So elections and elections for state rep do matter in changing and enacting policy. Mm-hmm. Okay, so big historic election last night in your home county.
Yeah.
More money was spent on this county executive's race than any before. And one of your colleagues is poised to be the first female to be county executive. So maybe we can talk a little about that race, what you were hearing, what you were seeing in the days leading up to it, and then we can punch a little deeper.
Well, you know, I used to work. I was a public defender and a county solicitor in Allegheny here. So I know the county government decently well. And so I have a lot of friends all over it. And obviously, for us, as you mentioned, Allegheny County, we hit that race, several others as well. But the county executive race, of course, is the biggest race. And for many people, they will say that once you get to sort of Philly mayor and the governor, arguably there's no more important or powerful position elected, you know, than Allegheny County's chief executive. So, you know, look, that was an interesting blend of candidates. Many to which I knew, some who fell short, fine people who I've considered friends. Sarah offered something different and was able to galvanize this sort of a new coalition that also wanted to see that as well. Allegheny County has clearly, politically, the Democrats have moved a bit to the left. Even when I was elected 10 years ago, I used to sit next to Ed Gainey on the floor, the two of us, and you know, we'd talk just about even our own delegation about, you know, how it was a bit more conservative back then compared to it is now. Doesn't mean that good work wasn't done, but just different perspectives that were there. Now, of course, with Sarah's hard work winning there, it's giving a chance for some issues and some things perhaps to be brought up that haven't been, with a new energy to it. And that's what I think the race meant. People wanted to see a vision that was inclusive. I think they wanted to feel that they were part of that future. And I think while others tried, I think Sarah made more people believe that, and that's why she won.
Well, she'll also be one of the youngest elected officials across the Commonwealth. And I guess this follows both in that new coalition, new energy, to use your phrases, but also in terms of age, it follows what we saw with Austin Davis, a colleague, a former colleague of yours coming out of Allegheny County, Summer Lee, the new congresswoman. And then you mentioned Ed Gainey. I mean, it is interesting what's happened in recent primaries in Allegheny County.
Well, you know, and for me, you're mentioning my friends, right? So I kind of joke. I think I put out a post just last night about how I keep losing my friends in the House. You know, look, it's generational changes, and we say generational. I don't necessarily mean age. I just mean sort of like a different political direction. These things happen. There's a reason why we say generational. It maybe happens about every generation where you see a turn or twist to the left or the right by either of the parties, and people who feel that what they're seeing up there in certain candidates reflects what they want to see in a different way that maybe wasn't done before. And so my friends that you have mentioned in some way or another all reflect some bit of that. And that when we say those types of things, I know you mentioned Sarah's age, in some ways, I know, and I'm sure you don't mean this, but the other part about it is that you're talking about captivating people, people who have worked hard, people who have pounded the streets and the doors, who talk to people, who present ideas, who write great bills, you know, who talk about issues and try to get their hands dirty in the political sense to find solutions for people. These aren't just people like, well, who's the youngest one, you know, or something like that. The reality of it is that, you know, everyone who you mentioned have been elected officials of caliber. And that, I think, is part of the story as well. It is great to talk about the first woman, my friend Ed Gainey, obviously the first African-American to lead Pittsburgh, Austin Davis, Summer Lee. They all fit to some degree, some aspect of the first. But what is I think what sometimes people don't focus on is that, yes, they're the first of whichever category we'd like to talk about. But the quality of what they bring is also, there are many people who could be first. Why them? And it's because of everything they bring to the table, not just how they identify, who you see, anything like that. And that's, I think some people forget that Sarah has a habit of winning races that people think that she wouldn't win. She has a habit of defeating incumbents with strong family ties, political ties that go back a long way. That's how she got her start. So while some people may have been surprised by the win, I think a lot of us weren't, because we know that Sarah's a fighter and she knows how to change the game. And that's what she did.
Yeah. And I certainly would encourage listeners, if they haven't, or even if they did, to go back. I sat down with Sarah and with some of the other county executive candidates, I think late March. And I certainly learned a lot, and she had a lot of great perspective. And by no means was I dismissive. We're coming from the same generation, Sarah and I, but it is interesting. My understanding is that the county Democrats, and for that matter, the Central Labor Council, endorsed John. And when you look at the precinct map, John certainly did won the most precincts, but certainly, I guess they weren't the most densely populated precincts. But I guess what you're speaking to is a bit of a divide that we've seen in recent elections, where endorsements of yesteryear maybe aren't as valuable as this new coalition or new energy, to use your phrase.
Well, you know, it's also how the candidate who gets endorsed works, right? So that's part of it as well. It's one thing to be endorsed. I've been endorsed by the organizations you just mentioned, and I'll always, for example, on labor, I'll always fight for that endorsement. It's one I want, right? So, but what do you do with that endorsement? What does it mean? How are you working your campaign? Sarah was on the doors, literally was on the doors, right? And that, some people poked at her for that. Some people felt that she was being, you know, sort of that she was running a state house race as a county exec candidate. But no matter what, the reality, I think, is that she probably outworked her opponents. And I don't mean that of disrespect, but it just is part of the story. So when you get endorsements, and Allegheny County had several, there were some very good people who I enjoy and I consider friends. To be honest, if they fell a little bit short, I think part of it is that they were outworked. And so that's what I think both the party and the labor, I mean, obviously this is their choice of whoever they negotiate, I mean, to endorse, I don't get a vote, but they should obviously be considering, yes, it's great to have friends and to have longstanding friends. Is your longstanding friend going to be working to make it so that your name that you attach to them is reflective of hard work? And to some degree, in some of those races, I'm not quite sure that everybody would say that. So, like, you know, Sarah, I think, altered a lot. Clearly, money still plays a role. Both Sarah and John and then Michael Lamb and even Fawcett, there was a sizable amount of money that was put in. The airwaves were full of things with it. But it was everything else along the path that made it work, not just the person who does good camp, you know, sort of TV ads. Who still is doing that connection? Who's giving that vision so that when people even see a social media post or they bump into it at a door, that they're seeing more than just that initial message. They're getting a feeling about the future that you want to build with them, for them. And that's where I think Sarah distanced herself.
Well, she clearly built quite the coalition and did win sizable. We'll link to it when we post the episode. But when you look at the precinct maps, it's diverse precincts, and I guess in total it looks like about 38% of the 170,000 votes that were cast went to her. I want to pivot as we wind down to the DA's race. Mm-hmm. Your sitting district attorney has been a fixture for upward of a quarter century, but it looks like, when the dust settles, he lost by about 20,000 votes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think clearly, again, Matt Dugan, you know, sort of modernized that race in several aspects. And I think that clearly the election speaks for itself. That's not a close number, you know, in what we're talking about here. So that's the size of this is a Matt, who I knew a bit from the public defender's office. This is his first time he ran. He was not some sort of longtime dynastic name that was there. But he, I think, was, again, kind of showing that people were looking for something different. And obviously, he's qualified, did a tremendous job as chief public defender in Allegheny County. Look, it is a big change. There's no doubt about it. I want to wish, you know, Steve Zappella, I hope that he's able to sit back and say, you know, look, he had 25 years, you know, lifted up by the Democratic Party, his father before him. There's a big, long tradition of Democratic support for the Zappalas. I hope that he sits back and he's able to look and take whatever his accounting would be and hopefully take pride in what his work, whether I agreed with it or not, but hopefully his, you know, his pride. And my hope is that he says, you know what, thank you to the Democratic Party that had so over many decades been there for the Zappalas to give them fantastic opportunities to lead and chart a direction. But then also that he says, you know, congratulations to the new Democratic, you know, nominee. He offers his help and that's it. But obviously he's going to have to make his own decisions. But, you know, look, it's no surprise, again, how was the campaign run? And I think Matt was more visible in so many ways. And I think, again, that pays it, you know, that explains some of the margin of victory.
I know you don't represent the city of Pittsburgh, but I do need to give a shout out.
Yeah, just so you know.
What's that?
And I apologize. Just so you know, I did, for most of my time in the legislature, I actually did represent. It's only been this term here, again, that I've kind of was pushed a little south of the city. But so I do have contact over there.
I didn't realize. Even more so, I wanted to give a shout out to a former intern and good friend who's going to be the incoming city controller next year, Rachel Heisler, who I think will also bring great new energy into that position and bring transparency to the city's finances. Okay, I'm going to do something that we've never done across dozens of episodes. I'm going to give a shout out to another podcast, one which keeps me company commuting to Washington, D.C., or while I'm working out, and that's your podcast, sir. So maybe you can share with folks a little of how that started and your experience with it.
Yeah, well, listen, thank you, and you're kind to be one of our, I'll say, several listeners. But look, it's not as successful as yours, but we appreciate the mention on it, and it's called On the Table. And this is our second sort of season, I'll say, in doing it. You know, we actually have some good ones that are coming up, too, with our fantastic Speaker of the House, Joanna McClinton. I know there'll be something's coming up about the budget with our good appropriation chairman as well, Jordan Harris. But my point here was to try and find another way to connect with my constituents. You mentioned some great ways that some people listen when they're driving or when they're working out or things like that. And, you know, that's the whole point. Communication to me is what it's all about in relation as a state rep. So I want to try and find every medium. I can't say that I'm as engaging as yours, but we try to talk about, you know, the topics of the day. We try to introduce some other legislators. We try to talk about some of the big ideas that we want to work on. And it's been fun. I appreciate the shout out, and hopefully we'll continue to grow and be of value to people.
Well, I'm going to make another shout out. I think it was, I don't recall, but sometime last year, I had the chance to sit down with now Chairman Harris and now Speaker McClintock. So would encourage listeners to listen to Jordan's episode and Joanna's episode, and then listen to what State Rep Miller is cooking up, and listeners can decide which was the better conversation. I'm sure it'll be yours, sir. So thank you so much for your time and perspective after a late night last night.
It's all good. Thank you for all your work and kind of putting information out there for people, and it all matters. So thank you for the time, and I appreciate the honor of you reaching out.
Good deal. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Pennsylvania Kitchen Table Politics. Take a minute and leave us a rating and review on your podcast platform. Please also consider following us on social media for updates and announcements regarding future episodes and new guests. You're political, so I am sure that you're on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. We are too, at PA Political Podcast. Visit our website, papoliticalpodcast.org, and send us your feedback about this episode and suggestions on future guests. Until next week.